The following program has been produced and underwritten by Friendships Unlimited.
It's time to get underway with Radio Friendships. Stay tuned as your hosts, Don and Sandra Tipton, share exciting news about what God is doing throughout the world in this missions-minded radio broadcast.
Welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed from our headquarters called Port Mercy at Lake Charles, Louisiana. Well, if you watch television or movies very often, you'll come away with a very confused message of what love is. Well, we just want to take this day to remind you of the greatest love story ever told. And that is God, the creator of the universe, the great I Am, the giver of life, gave his life to you and to me, to all of us, so that our sins would be covered. And he did this all while we were still sinners. He had that much love for us and forgiveness. Well, today we have with us a wonderful couple that has come through what seemed like a devastating tragedy in their marriage that brought them to the love, power, and forgiveness of Jesus Christ that has restored their marriage and their love for each other in a way that was never found before. So let's get right to their story. We have with us Tony and Carrie Bailey, right?
Right.
Yes.
And welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Well, first of all, let's find out how you two first met.
Well, we met through a mutual friend. I guess I was 17 or 18 and she was 16. And I like telling this part because she doesn't agree. But anyway, we met through a mutual friend and we were just driving around one night and ended up going back to my apartment. And we had some Otis Redding on and we were slow dancing. Okay. And back then we had lots of parties and things in my house. So I had this big board on the wall and everybody who would come over, they would sign their name or whatever. So I told Carrie, it was the first time I'd ever met her. I said, well, if you want me to call you, you know, if you'd like maybe to get together someday, write your number on the board. She didn't write her number on the board. So it was actually a couple of days later that she called me. So I figured, you know, that was the other thing. She was way too pretty for me anyway. But she didn't call me for a couple of days. And then when she did, I was totally surprised. But
Well, I wasn't going to write my name on that board because there was all kind of names on that board. And I didn't think that was the appropriate thing to do. I didn't want just anybody getting my number. So
yeah. So anyway, we've been together ever since.
Since we were kids.
Let's get into that a little bit.
Okay.
From the time you met and you first started dating, this was done apart from knowing the Lord.
Right.
Right, right.
So where did that take you?
In the beginning, we thought it was good. We didn't know any better. In the end, we found out it was pretty empty. But it brought us into, I guess you would say, a normal marriage for someone who didn't know Christ. We had a child. Had a happy marriage, it seemed. But we just spent, probably like most unsaved, you know, we spent a lot of time out, you know, going to clubs and drinking and doing that, you know. So it was pretty empty. And ultimately, it led to almost the end of our marriage.
Okay. Yeah. Did you have any spirituality at all at that time?
I was actually, I guess, saved and baptized as a young teenager, but never grew to know God from there. As far as praying and really knowing God, we didn't have any of that.
So you knew some things about God?
I knew some things about God.
Oh, okay.
I, on the other hand, really didn't. I knew of God. I mean, I was raised, I would say, Catholic. That's my family's background. But we never really went to church. You know, we went with my grandmother here and there. You know, all those things that you should do, followed Lent, said the Our Father and the Hail Mary and all that. Really did not know what it all meant, to be honest. So when we came to Christ, I felt like, I mean, he did have some background. And he has a grandfather that was a preacher. So he did have more background than me. But for me, it was just like a sponge, you know, yeah. It was like, whoa, yeah. I mean, this is, wow, are you serious, yeah. You know? And so really, I feel like I didn't have much of a background at all, you know. I knew the religious things that as Catholics we are to do, you know, but I really had no knowledge or understanding of who Jesus was.
Okay, well, now let's get into this because you alluded a little bit towards something led to the point where you both accepted Christ. Walk us back through that and paint a little picture of what led up to that.
Okay, you want to go? Or
you go ahead.
I'll go. Well, many nights and many days, and we had our crowd of friends that we always, I mean, the party was always at our house,
right.
You know, so we had a crowd of friends.
Was it every weekend? I mean, that's what we looked
every
forward
weekend.
To. That was
what we looked
our
for.
Life, so to speak. I mean, we had our child who was 3 years old at the time and loved him dearly, but kind of separated that part of our life with our weekend life. And our weekend life was always going out, always drinking, always with the group, you know, that kind of thing. That was kind of our life then. That's what we look forward to.
Yeah.
Anyway, after six, 7 years
of marriage,
it came to a point where, unfortunately, but fortunately, I had an affair with my best friend's wife, which that hurts me really bad even today. You know, I know I'm forgiven. But through that, we came to the point where God was going to be our only hope. We got invited to church, and we weren't there 2 weeks probably, and you know, we both got saved. You know, I can remember before this happening, us talking about going to church, and every Sunday having a different excuse. It was like God was calling us,
right?
Maybe trying to avoid what was about to happen to us, but we weren't listening, I think. So anyway, we started at our new home church, Crossroads, and everybody just loved us, accepted us, even knowing our story, didn't judge us.
A lot of marriages don't survive that.
Right.
Right.
And again, being apart from Christ. Now, Carrie, this had to hit you like a ton of bricks.
Yes.
At that point, what was going through your mind? Did you find out about it or did you tell her?
She found
out.
Yeah,
I found out. This couple were very good friends of ours. I mean, this is people that we hung out with every weekend. And basically, I just got a phone call from her husband telling me what was going on. And when he got home, I confronted him with that. And he came, I mean, there was nothing about him that wanted to lie about it. And yeah, it was definitely the most difficult thing that I've had to go through. Shocking is all I could say. Shocking is the biggest thing. For anyone who's been through that knows that it's, and I'm just going to say this is what I felt at the time, but I think people that are in that situation can relate to this. And so I think they need to know that it's okay, whatever they're feeling, it's okay. It's a normal process. And the immediate was almost like a knife just in my heart, literally. Very shocking, of course, and angry and mad and don't know what to do. We have a 3-year-old child. We're about to buy our first home.
Yeah.
But I had a conversation with my brother who was a Christian, and he's the one that encouraged me to open up the Bible and read. He said, it's not about church. It's not about where you go to church, but you really need to open the Bible and see what Jesus says about forgiveness, because there is forgiveness for Tony.
Yeah.
About the same time, he goes and talks to a friend of his, and he's encouraging him the same thing, basically, to go to church. And so I remember the night that I talked to my brother, which was like probably 2 days after I found out. And I remember going into my house and Tony had left me a note. Immediately, I knew that he was sorry. I literally felt sorry for him, for all the pain that this caused him, that I knew that he knew that he was wrong and that it really hurt me. And I could see that. I could see the guilt and the regret in his eyes. But I remember the night that I had that conversation with my brother. I didn't know what I wanted. You know, we felt like, yeah, we really need to give it a shot because of our son, really, you know, because of our family, that we needed to at least try.
Yeah.
And so with that, you realize that you can't do that on your own, that that is too deep of a hurt, of a wound. You cannot fix that.
Yeah.
You know, and everything in you wants to fix it and wants to make it okay. But that night, I remember going home to a completely silent home, read his note, and, you know, he was just sharing his love for me and how he really wanted this to work and all that. And it was the first time that I remember just falling on my knees and just saying, God, I can't do this. I need your help because I cannot do this. And I don't know where to go from here. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to make this work. But if this is going to work, you're the only one that can make it work. And still at that point, still didn't know anything about Jesus, but I did know my Heavenly Father, and I knew that He was there to help. And so that was the start for me.
And my mom was in church just through a message, just being overwhelmed and goosebumps and chills going down my back and tears coming out of my eyes and knowing that this is for real.
Lots of times we need to be broken before we start looking up. And some people who are listening right now may be feeling in that broken spot. And it's not such a bad thing. The Lord is waiting for you. He's always been there. He's just waiting for you to reach up and grab His hand and let Him show you His might and His power.
That's right.
Tony and Carrie, there's just no way that we can know your story completely. But I imagine that it's not all a bed of roses from that point, but now everything changes.
Right.
And
Well, I know when we first started going to church, it was immediate that for the first month, every time I'd go in church, I mean, I would just cry and cry and cry. And now I see that as the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that then. But the messages that were spoken were so directed at us. Like, does Pastor know what we're going through? I mean, we really don't know him, but does he know us? Yeah. You know, somebody tell him something. Kind of that experience. And from there, we've just grown and grown over the years in our dependence on God. We knew, like I said, at that point that we couldn't do this on our own, and he sure did grab a hold of our hands. As soon as we sought him, he's always there waiting for us to reach out, and as soon as we did, he has just taken our hand and has led us to this point. Here we are, 7, almost 8 years later.
And now your relationship has blended together, and you start to get the idea of the one flesh thing.
Right, yes. What I would kind of maybe back up and say, because you got to know, like you said, it's not all a bed of roses right after that. So you do go through hard times. You go through doubt, the mistrust, you know, not wanting to give yourself over again. Yeah. And so, you know, it's not all fun and easy. Even when you have God holding your hand there, you still have to work through a lot of the emotions and give God time and space begin to heal.
Sounds as though you're saying, oh, the initial forgiveness is there, but it's also a process that has to be worked through.
Yes, it definitely is a process that has to come forth, and you have to work it through one day at a time, really. And you get to that point where you realize that God is doing this. You know, God is allowing things to heal in my heart, you know, and in his heart too, you know, because there's hurt on his side as well, and that God needs to deal with and handle. So yeah, it wasn't easy. I mean, there were times when I thought, this ain't gonna work. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if this is gonna work, but I'm hanging in there until I hear otherwise. But I mean, there were times where I thought, I ain't doing this, you know, but God just held me in there and be patient and, you know, that kind of thing.
And Tony, being the one asking for forgiveness, there's a tendency to want to, we do this quite often when we ask for forgiveness. If they don't give it to us, we get upset. And at that point, we're not really asking for forgiveness. We're actually making a demand on them.
Right.
So how did you handle that? I mean, you wanted forgiveness so bad. Was there a tendency to try and make her forgive you?
Yeah, definitely. I felt like, I guess it was probably wrong on my part, but I felt like at that point, I definitely wanted to save my marriage and save my wife and my son. And at the beginning, when she was struggling through this, you know, I told myself that I was going to do and say whatever I had to do and say, keep her.
Yeah.
So it was a definite struggle because I'm not a very patient person. And it definitely pushed me to the limit as far as patience, because, you know, you get to a point where, you know, how many times do I have to say I'm sorry?
Yeah.
You know, how many times do I have to say I love you? It'll never happen again, you know. But yeah, it was definitely tough.
At what point did you actually feel you guys turned the corner?
I don't know. Honestly,
I don't either.
It's just been a journey. You know, it's just been since day one, there was never a corner turned, you know. I think for me, I guess, is really when we started getting involved in church. And probably that she could see my heart was in it and that she could, you know, learn to trust me again. That's when it really started to turn.
Yeah.
It's just been unbelievable ever since. You know, it's like I love her more than I ever did.
I will tell you a turning point for me. And I'm sorry, I keep on backing up on you.
We'll be here all day, Jeff.
I guess for me in my heart was when I came upon the scripture that talked about how many times do I have to forgive my brother who sinned against me? 7 times. And, you know, and Jesus is like, no, 70 times 7, you know, basically meaning you continue to forgive and forgive and forgive. And it was at that point that I realized that God, that Jesus Christ forgives me over and over and over again for all that I've done and all that I will do, and that it is actually an extension of his forgiveness to reach out and forgive. It was a lot easier for me to forgive my husband because I knew him, you know, and I know his heart, and it was a trust thing that was hard. I forgave him, but it was to build up that trust again. But God also led me at that time, whenever this scripture, when it really penetrated my heart, to also forgive my friend who was on the other end of the affair. And that was one of the most amazing experiences that I could ever really put into words what I saw the day that I met with her. It was a year later. I really felt God saying, it's time, you know. And I hadn't talked to her in a year, of course. Last time I talked to her, I gave her my mind and said a few things, and, you know, some ugly things. And I have not talked to them since. So I, you know, called her and set up a time to meet at a park. And I remember getting out of my car and I was so nervous. And I just prayed the whole way, God, you're going to have to do this, you know. And I remember getting out of the car and she was in front of me and she just looked at me. And I remember that look, because it's the same look Tony gave me way back then. And that was a look of guilt and of shame And it was almost like her face was just drawn down. I mean, there was no life at all in her. She was in tears before I even got out of my car. And I just went and gave her a hug and said, it's okay. It's okay. And so we stayed at that park for an hour or two just talking. And I just shared with her about Jesus Christ. I said, you know, you are forgiven. Tony is forgiven. Jesus forgives you. He loves you. And he has plans for you and your marriage. And I gave her a Bible and said, look, if you do nothing else, I encourage you to open this up. And told her that I did forgive her and that it's all okay. And God has turned it around for good in our lives.
Yeah.
We can see that now. And she just told me how sorry she was. And just, you know, we stayed at that park and we walked and we just spent some time together after that, just talking and catching up. And whenever we left, her look was totally different. It was like literally God had taken that guilt and that shame and literally lifted it from her. I saw it face to face in an instant. And I was just so excited when I left. I mean, it was just like, God, no way.
Uh-huh.
No way did you just do that. I remember driving home and the song that was on my radio was called For This Cause. And I thought, God, for however long I live, I am going to serve you and I'm going to tell people about you. I just witnessed the most amazing thing. And I've witnessed it with Tony, but it was a gradual thing because we were working this out.
Right.
But this was like an immediate just lifting.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
I
the
mean,
scripture,
just
a scripture
amazing.
Comes to mind right away. And this was very difficult for a lot of us. I mean, we understand scriptures and we want to do them.
Right.
But this one about loving your enemy. For
yeah.
some reason,
yes.
that seems to be such a big challenge for us. But what better act of love that will separate us from the world or make us stand out from the world than that right there? And that was a great demonstration.
Right.
I told you this was going to be a love story.
Yeah.
This is good. Hey,
you see why I'm so in love with her now?
I do.
I guess there was a scripture for me early on that was 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Okay.
For anyone who is in Christ is a new creation, the old is gone, the
yes.
new has come. Because
yes.
I struggled for a long time of falling, you know, going back almost like an addict. You know, it's
yeah.
like, will it happen again? Will somebody, even though in my mind I'm saying, you know, I'll never let that happen again. But it wasn't until I found that scripture and God just spoke to me through that and said, you're not the same Tony.
Right. Yeah.
You're a new Tony. You know, you're my Tony now.
Well, I know the scripture that he's talking about. God has used that even up to date, to be honest. You know, because Satan can come in and throw a lot of things into your heart, so to speak, wanting to bring you back to that place. And it was probably at about 4 years after we got our vows renewed. And that did something in my heart, too, because this time we were in front of God and we
yes,
knew
yes,
it.
Yes.
We were in front of God last time, and I know it was our vows and it was a commitment. But it was different then because we didn't know Christ. And so now going before God saying, this is new, this is a new deal that God's doing and that our marriage is sealed in his love. And at that point, I remember telling Tony that I felt like the last drop of glue on my broken heart, God kind of dropped that last drop of glue on there to make my heart whole again as far as my relationship with Tony. And that really did something big in my heart. But here we are 4 years after that, Satan wants to throw those things in my face a lot of times, you know, just being weak in mind and spirit when you're in those places. And so Satan has used that doubt and tried to get me scared and in fear. And so many times I don't like to speak about that to Tony because I don't ever want to bring up any guilt or shame. I want to protect him, you know,
yeah.
and but there are times where I'll tell him stuff that I'm feeling, and I know it's just my feelings, and he'll just say, Carrie, but I'm a new creation. I'm not that same person. And I'm like, you're right, you're not. And that helps me to defeat Satan when he comes in, because then I can step back from my feelings, you know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
say, you're right, God.
Yeah.
He's not the same person, and that I trust him. But even greater than that, Lord, I'm trusting you.
Amen.
I have to trust that you are working in him
mm-hmm.
and that you're going to keep him away from sin, that you're going to keep him, accountable, and that he is accountable to you. So it's just that process of getting to
right.
that place. But yeah, that scripture is definitely, because it helps me remember what God has done in us, in him, and through our marriage, and that God's going to continue to do.
Amen. And you just brought up a great point that I think we've overlooked. We spoke about images of media telling us what love is. And, you know, it gives us a false sense that it's based on feelings.
Yes.
And, yeah, that's a part of it.
Right.
But feelings are subject to change. So that cannot be love, and they will.
Right.
They will change.
Right.
So love is more than that. The feelings are nice, but it's kind of like the spark plug.
Right.
Whereas we need the gasoline to keep the motor running.
Right, right.
And that comes with the promises kept, the trust that you were speaking of. This is a great point that you bring up. Well, we're going to have to move on because it is time for the scripture of the day. And yeah, we've heard scripture from both of you, but now you guys have chosen a scripture that you'd like to share with us together, right?
It's going to be Romans 8:28. God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. And we didn't choose this together. Carrie brought it, but we talk about this a lot. And that is that through this, we were saved and we have a relationship with Jesus Christ now. But also almost our entire family has been saved through this.
Yeah.
So God has taken what the enemy tried to use for bad and turn it to good. Yeah. Nothing but good. We see miracles happening.
Right.
Just great things are happening in our family all the time.
Amen.
Even today, you know.
Amen.
So
Yeah,
he's taken that experience and turned it in. And we didn't have time to cover it today, but you guys also teach a couples class at small groups.
Yes.
And you're involved in the community. I mean, this has become a mission for you.
Right.
And so before we go, Carrie, I'm going to ask you, because there may be somebody listening right now that has suffered, has just found out the news, or is in that spot of, you know, the forgiveness has happened, but the process, and they feel alone, and they feel discarded, or like God's not hearing them.
Right.
And you remember what that felt like.
Yes.
And, you know, they just need to hear some encouragement. So could you pray for that person
right
now?
Definitely. Father God, we just come before you and lay this person, whoever you may be, that is in this struggle right now and are just hurting so deeply, and the pain runs so deep and you just don't know where to go from here. I'm just praying that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would rush down and just rescue your hurting heart. Just reach up to him, grab a hold of his hand, because he is with you. There's a scripture that I want to pray over you, that the word says that the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. So whenever you are hurting and you feel so alone, like not one person on the face of this earth could understand, we have a God who does. And I pray that you would feel his presence and the power of the Holy Spirit come upon you and just soothe and calm you and bring forth a peace in the midst of the storm. We love you, Lord, and we give these marriages, these families, these hurting hearts over to you and ask for your full love, the extension of your grace and your forgiveness. We just pray all of these things in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Now, before we go, I just want to take a moment to let you know that before we look at somebody else and their iniquities and their failures, are we really so different? You know, many of you are in a marriage right now that you may not have committed adultery, but the thoughts are in your mind. Is that really so different? The same forgiveness is there. The same new start is there for you. And many of you have been through divorce and remarried. Well, there's maybe some bitterness in there towards your ex-spouse. Well, you know, you made a promise before God, whether you knew him at the time or not, you made a promise before God to honor and cherish that person for the rest of your life. Well, you're not married to him now, but you can still honor them. Maybe today is the day to let them know that you still love them with the love of Jesus Christ. We thank you all for joining. We thank you for joining us, Tony and Carrie.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And we thank you all for joining us today. We invite you back here next time where we speak about the great and mighty God and the many ways throughout the world to serve him. Have a great day and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337-433-5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.
Port Mercy will begin hosting an every Saturday work party from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 1019 North First Avenue in Lake Charles. Our first project will be to select clothing in excellent condition and sort it into categories, then load the clothing by type into totes that will make it ready to distribute in disaster relief or humanitarian aid missions. Future Saturday projects will include building first aid kits and sorting other supplies so that when an emergency situation takes place, Friendships is ready to roll and be as effective as possible. We welcome you to come to Port Mercy any Saturday and work for a short period of time or the entire day. Bring your friends, your family, your church, or your school group. Radio Friendships producer Jeff Reed and his beautiful wife Anne will be serving as the coordinators of this new project. Be a part of international missions while right here at home in Lake Charles. Be sure to dress in casual work clothes. For more information, call 337-433-5022.